Support for WPR comes from Milwaukee Film, presenting the 16th Annual Milwaukee Film Festival, featuring local, national, and international films, April 11th through the 25th. Tickets are at mkefilm.org.
Support for WPR comes from Viterbo University, offering online bachelor completion programs, including business, education, nursing, and more. Information is available at viterbo.edu/completion.
Today on the show, we're talking with the candidates in Wisconsin's 4th Congressional District. We met the Democratic candidates a little while ago. Republican David King was scheduled to join us but canceled due to family obligations. Now we turn to the other Republican, Dan Sebring. He is a Milwaukee business owner. He serves as the first vice chairman of the Republican Party of Milwaukee County. He joins us now from our Milwaukee studio. Dan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, you ran a write-in campaign against Representative Moore in 2008 and then formal campaigns in 2010 and 2012. What keeps you coming back, challenging, trying to unseat incumbent Gwen Moore?
Well, I still see the opportunity to actually unseat Gwen Moore. The way that this all started back in 2008 was I wrote Representative Moore a letter, and it was her response to that letter that motivated me to run against her. My interpretation of her response to my letter to her was basically, mind your own business. I'm a sitting congressman. I'm a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, and you're just a citizen, and I'll tell you what's good for you, and you should just do what I tell you. And I could not wait to vote against her in the primary election in 2008, and that's when I found that she was unopposed. And just as for something to do in protest, I wrote my name in on the ballot where it said write-in. And when I got back to my place of business, people knew that I had gone to vote. And I told them that I had to write in my own name because Gwen Moore was running unopposed. And that's when Scott Walker's father-in-law, who's a customer of mine, turned around and looked at me and says, you know, you could actually run for Congress. You would make a good congressman. And we Googled how to do it, and by the end of the day, I was a registered write-in candidate in 2008. And we had a six-week write-in campaign that next to nobody knew about. And I still managed to get 437 votes, if my memory serves me correctly. That told me that I was onto something, and I got my name on the ballot for the 2010 election.
Well, can you tell us a little more about your background and how it would serve you in Congress?
Well, I'm a United States Navy veteran, and I served on the Chief of Naval Operations Intelligence Staff at the Pentagon during the Reagan administration. I have a pretty good idea of how things work in Washington and what it takes to actually get things done.
What do you see as some of the biggest challenges facing your district, the 4th Congressional District, the Milwaukee area, and what would you do to tackle those?
Well, obviously, the biggest problem that we have is jobs. You know, people want to get back to work. And there's a number of things that we can do that can address that problem. I personally would like to see the entire 4th Congressional District designated a federal enterprise zone where we could provide tax incentives to businesses that come to Milwaukee, that come to the 4th District, that hire people from the 4th District, provide job training for people in the 4th District. And one of the things that has to go hand in hand with that is education. We have an undereducated workforce. So we need to expand school choice and bolster our public school system and find out what the problem is there, that we have so many people that aren't graduating getting very poor grades. And we need to provide an educated workforce for businesses to come to Milwaukee and put those people to work.
And then turning away from things directly in the district, looking at the national scene, what do you see as a big challenge facing the United States?
Boy, there's so much going on, isn't there? But I think the number one thing that we need to do is secure that southern border. We have to stem the flow of the illegal immigrants that are coming across that border. And then once we've taken care of that, then we need to decide what to do with those people that are already here. That's, I think, the number one thing other than jobs and the economy.
What would you see as the right strategy to try to stem that flow?
Well, like I said, the first thing we need to do is secure the border. If that means sending the National Guard to the border, then that means sending the National Guard to the border until we can, if we need to build a fence or put in ground centers, if we can keep people out of Area 51, we can keep people from crossing that southern border. So that's got to be number one on the list.
that was a big issue in this last session of Congress just ended. We came out with nothing, effectively leaving it to the president to try to sort out, representative of a lot of the gridlock we see in Congress. How do you overcome that, assuming that, you know, maybe you're in a Republican House and there's still a Democratic Senate and president?
Well, that is an issue, isn't it? Because the gridlock is coming in on the Senate side. People forget that Congress is made up of the two houses. There's the House of Representatives and the United States Senate. And the House of Representatives has passed hundreds of bills that are sitting on Harry Reid's desk collecting dust. And meanwhile, we have Democrats decrying the Republicans as the do-nothing, as the obstructionists, when in fact it's Harry Reid.
Well, aren't there policies that have passed the Democratic Senate that are sitting on the floor in the House?
That could very well be true.
So how did you set yourself apart from your primary opponent, David King?
Well, like I mentioned before, I'm a United States Navy veteran. I served on the Chief of Naval Operations Intelligence Staff at the Pentagon during the Reagan administration. I know how things go in Washington. I've lived and worked there. I own my own business. I've been in business for 21 years. I am the first vice chairman of the Republican Party of Milwaukee County South Branch, and I've been an officer in the Republican Party of Milwaukee County for the past 6 years. I believe that I have infinitely better qualifications than my primary opponent.
Turning to some other issues that have been big in the House, the Affordable Care Act. There have been efforts from the House to repeal it. Didn't go anywhere. Again, Democratic Senate, Democratic president. Looking at the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as some have called it, are there parts of it you think we should keep? Would you like to see some of it stay, change others, or repeal the whole thing?
Well, I support the American Health Care Reform Act, which is something that actually does keep a few of the elements of Obamacare, but at the same time, it actually repeals Obamacare. In my opinion, Obamacare is too broken. It can't be fixed. We need to throw it out and start over again. And some of the things that the American Health Care Reform Act keeps is the pre-existing conditions aspect of Obamacare would be included in that Health Care Reform Act, as well as the 26-year-old staying on their parents' policies.
Now, there's been recent news, the U.S. House moving toward a lawsuit against President Obama, in large part because of his implementation or delaying parts of the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Talk from some, including some of your colleagues running to replace Tom Petri, of investigations of the president with an eye toward impeachment down the road. Where do you stand on lawsuits against the president or possible impeachment down the road?
Well, I am not aware of any Republican efforts to actually impeach the president. Now, we have this lawsuit that we're talking about now, and I believe that that's completely appropriate. I believe that the president has overstepped his authority in a lot of the executive orders that he's signed recently, and you know, I'm completely in favor of that being investigated and having the court render a decision as to whether or not he did or did not exceed his authority.
Where do you put priorities as far as foreign policy? We've talked lately on the show about a long list of foreign policy crises facing the United States. Where are you looking toward? Where should we have our eye on the ball around the world?
Oh, Israel. And absolutely, Israel. We need to support Israel.
Do you support the way that the Secretary of State, John Kerry, is trying to negotiate a settlement there in Gaza?
I don't believe that he's going about that the right way. We need to stand behind Israel and do pretty much what they think that we should do. It's their country. We shouldn't be telling them what to do, but we need to stand behind them. They haven't proposed anything completely outrageous, and I think we need to stand with Israel.
Now, sorry to get a little political wonky with you, but this district, the 4th District, has been viewed as a safe seat for Democrats for some time. You've been making the case in the media lately that you have a real shot this time around. Make the case that this is winnable for the Republicans.
Absolutely. You know, there are over 530,000 registered voters in the 4th Congressional District, and over the last four presidential elections, at some point, over 313,000 of those registered voters voted for a Republican. So there are people crossing the lines. I know that it's easy to say that it's a heavily Democrat district and you know how the district is rated by Cooks and such. But the fact of the matter is enough people have crossed the lines to vote for a Republican in the past that they will do it again.
And I wanted to get into a key part of your platform. You've talked a lot about the budget, deficit spending, and taxes. Can you outline your priorities there?
Well, we need to lower taxes, number one, and we need to reduce regulations as well. It's been shown over and over again that when you reduce taxes and reduce regulations, it actually increases the amount of money that comes into the government's coffers.
And have you seen areas of policy? You mentioned a couple of parts of the Affordable Care Act you might be willing to keep around. Are there other areas where you look and say, okay, I agree with Democrats or disagree with Democrats in principle in a lot of areas. Here are some places for bipartisan cooperation where something can happen.
You know, I'm sure that there's things like that exist, but nothing actually pops into my head immediately. But certainly at the end of the day, you know, we need to get things done. And you know, I'm perfectly willing to reach across the aisle to get done what needs to be done. But it has to be reasonable. I'm not going to just capitulate and do what the left wants me to do and not have them, you know, meet me in the middle. There has to be a give and take.
Before we're done, can you leave us with a final message for voters with just over a week until Election Day?
Well, I can't say this enough. I am the first vice chairman of the Republican Party of Milwaukee County. I'm a United States Navy veteran. I served on the Chief of Naval Operations Intelligence Staff at the Pentagon during the Reagan administration. I raised my hand and swore to uphold and defend our freedoms that we hold so dear back then, and I'm ready to do it again. I am a grassroots conservative, and I firmly believe that a Republican can win the 4th District.
Dan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Dan Sebring. He's a small business owner, one of two Republican candidates on the ballot for Wisconsin's 4th Congressional District primary. That's the district centering around Milwaukee.